You're listening to the Professional Brotherhood Podcast, because when the alarm sounds, nobody cares if you're career or volunteer.
Hey, what's up, gang? Welcome back. Welcome back. And this is going to be probably a short mutual aid episode. I've got a lot going on in my head, so I might just freaking bounce all over the place today. But I had some downtime and just wanted to dump some thoughts on you all, because I haven't done that in a little bit. First of all, I want to give a shout out and thank those of you that provided feedback on the last episode. Not an easy episode for me to record. However, I wanted to get that message out there. I thought that message was important. Even though it included, dumping some of my personal business, which I tend not to do. We got a lot of feedback on the episode, a lot of positive comments in regards to it helping others and things that they were going through. And some of you that I have been friendly with for quite a while, whether through social media or through a connection because of this podcast or whatever the situation may be, that didn't really know what was going on, personally reached out as well. And I truly, really do appreciate that. And thank you all for your support, of me personally and of the platform and the podcast. On that note, I just recently listened to Travis Howe's latest episode on Apple Podcasts. And if you just punch in Travis Howe into your search and look at his latest episode, it was absolutely phenomenal and kind of piggybacked on what we spoke about in the last episode a little bit, unbeknownst to any of us. And I highly recommend that if you have never found Travis or his podcast, that you take a listen to that last episode. I think it'll if our last episode spoke to you, I think that episode of his will speak to you even more. So check it out. Again, just punch in on your search on Apple Podcasts, Travis Howes, and I think you'll be happy. So, what are we going to talk about today? We've got a few things to talk about. I am out in the field teaching again this week. Yesterday, I spent a personal day out on a river in the Adirondacks with a group of fellow instructors, learning to whitewater kayak. Obviously, I've been in a kayak multiple times before, usually on flat water, never in like real white water other than at the facility that I teach at. And it was a bucket list item for me. When I started going through my personal stuff and I was having conversations with my therapist, she said to me, "Listen, man," she said, "you need to, as you move forward in your life," she said, there's always things that people put off in their life because of the situation that they're in, whether it be relationship or work or children or time commitments or whatever it may be. There's always things that people wish that they have done. So you need to create yourself a bucket list and start to check items off of that bucket list, you know? And one of the items on my bucket list was starting to learn to whitewater kayak, because I love the whole swift water rescue thing, and I'm pretty involved in it at this point, and it was just a logical next step for me. So yesterday, a group of us took a trip to the Adirondacks, and we did a couple 3-mile runs down a local river in the Adirondacks, and just had a freaking blast. It was just such an amazing time. Just a good time with good people. So where am I going with that? What am I leading into? One of the questions that I often get from whether it's people that I know or people that I indirectly know through this podcast or social media is, you know, how do you manage to get yourself involved in all the things that you get yourself involved in as a volunteer firefighter? And I always find that question to be an interesting one for a number of reasons. You all know my stance and how I feel about the career volunteer divide or line, right? I personally do not look at it with any difference, right? I've got lots of good friends that have been volunteers and have gone on to career jobs. I've got tons of friends in the volunteer service that have been volunteers for life. I've got career friends that have left the job on the career side and started to serve their local volunteer fire department. I have never looked at it differently, and that was ingrained in me early on in my firefighting career by my mentors, that if you want to be good at this job, regardless of whether it says volunteer or career before firefighter, you need to treat this as a job, because it is a job that you're just not getting paid for, right? So you all know that is my outlook on the job, right? And I surround myself with a lot of people that have that same outlook, right? Kara, who co-hosts with me here on the podcast, if you follow her on social media, you know that she looks at this as a unpaid job as well, right? You don't have to look too deep into her social media platforms to realize that she takes this job seriously and she treats it as an unpaid profession, right? She's always looking to better herself in the craft. She's always exercising and, you know, keeping herself in shape to perform, to be able to perform and do the job of a firefighter, right? So that's where we stand on this, right? As far as the divide, right? Yes, there are certain opportunities that may appear to be easier to get to if being a firefighter is your primary profession, all right? Depending on where in the country or in the world that you are. Maybe on the instructional side, maybe on the circuit of seminars and fire shows and, you know, trying to get your message out there and spread your message. It's easy to look at the people doing those things and recognize that a lot of them are from the career side of the fire service. But not all of them, right? Not all of them. So back to the question. Yeah, I always get that question. You know, how do you get yourself involved in so much stuff, right, being a volunteer? Well, there's a lot that goes into that, all right? First and foremost, it's what I've already said, all right? Getting yourself in the mindset of, like, you're no different. If you want to be good at the job, just be good at the job. Don't be focused on the fact that you're a volunteer. Nobody cares. We say that all the time. Nobody gives a shit. Mrs. O'Leary does not care when you pull up to her house at the structure fire if you're getting paid for the job or not. She just wants you to be proficient and good at the job, right? We talk about that all the time, all right? So get yourself past that. That's number one, all right? Number two, you need to have a good support system, all right? You need to have people around you that support you and what you and what your goals are, what your aspirations are in the fire service, right? So if you have a good day job, a good 9-to-5, right, and you do not aspire to take your firefighting career to the career side, but you aspire to be a lifelong volunteer, well, then what does that look like, right? What does that roadmap look like? Well, it involves training, right? Constant training, always training, not getting yourself into the mindset of, oh, well, I took my firefighter one, I took apparatus operator, and, you know, I can do a couple jobs and I'm good. No, training needs to be ongoing. Training needs to be showing up every week at drill and participating and learning something. Training needs to be to consist of getting outside your comfort zone and going and taking different classes and seeking out different hands-on opportunities and traveling to different areas and hearing messages from different people and learning how different organizations do things differently, right? Training needs to be in the forefront of your mind at all times, right? You always need to be bettering yourself. That leads into, let me rewind. And then, you know, you also have to have a job that is supportive of your volunteer service. That's a huge help, right? And listen, that's not always possible. Some of us out there, you know, if you work a 9-to-5 and you clock in at 9 and leave at 5, like you have to be focused on your job. And that's what's putting bread on the table, right? For you and your family. So that has to be in the forefront of your mind, right? You know, if you have to be locked in from 9-to-5 and you cannot leave for calls and what have you, it is what it is, right? Don't let that get you down. Realize that you have to bring home, you have to work a job, right, to support yourself and your family. And the volunteer firehouse will come after that, right? You will still have plenty of time to do what you need to do, you know, working that 9-to-5 Monday to Friday or whatever it may be. Okay, so don't make the mistake of putting your job in jeopardy for the volunteer firehouse, right? Some of us are fortunate enough to have jobs and working for people that are extremely supportive of what we do, right? And that's a huge help. Never take that for granted. If you work for a company that supports volunteerism and allows you to respond to calls, take days off for training, you know, go after your passion, right? Never, ever, ever take that for granted, all right? So that's a huge part of this if you're fortunate enough to have that kind of job. I mentioned looking for opportunities, right? That's the biggest thing here, folks. You know, looking for opportunities and going after opportunities and not being afraid to ask, right? Sometimes you just have to engage. Sometimes you just need to ask. Sometimes you just need to say, hey, I'm interested in doing this. What do I need to do to get there, right? And that's one thing that has helped me tremendously, right? I have gotten myself involved in a lot of opportunities because I just continue to show up. I continue to show my face. I continue to show that I'm interested, and I ask, right? I'm not afraid to say, hey, listen, you know, I can give you some time here. I'm interested in getting involved in this. What do I need to do, right? And a lot of times, just having that mindset, right, just showing that you're interested, all right, to the leaders, to whoever it is that you need to show that you're interested, right, paves the way for you, right? And that's where I've personally seen success, right? Just going after the things that I want, working hard to get them, training, right? Making myself acceptable for the position by doing the things that I need to do to get there, right? By training, by learning, right? And then asking, saying, hey, I'd like to take part in this. What do I need to do, right? And it might be as simple as, well, hey, that's awesome. We're looking for people. You know, you've got to do this. You've got to come to an instructor authorization. You have to do some apprentice time. You have to operate as an assistant instructor for a while, right? And then you work your way up to a higher instructional role, like if that's what you're looking to do. Maybe it's being on a special operations team for your county or your fire department, right? Maybe that's one of your goals, right? So you start training to get yourself there. That way, when you put in that application, you can say, hey, this is what I'm capable of. This is what I bring to the table, right? I want to help. I want to be a part, right? So you got to have a go-get-em mindset. You got to have a goal-oriented mindset. This is what I want, Okay. You know who's not going to be successful in these paths? It's the people that think that everything should be handed to them, right? It's the chief officer or the officer that shows up to drill and says, this is what we're going to do, and then doesn't put their bunker gear on and stands there and watches everybody do it instead of getting involved, instead of putting hands on, right? Those are the people that will stand back and bitch, right? That they don't get anything, that they can't do anything, that nothing comes their way, that they can't further themselves in the service other than being lucky on an election night and becoming a chief officer, right? Those are the people that'll sit back and bitch and moan about it, right? But look at them, you know, take a look at their path, take a look at what they do, right? Ask them to show you their training record. I guarantee you it's empty. I guarantee you it's the bare minimum, the basics, right? And they don't go after further goals, right? And when we're out there training, they stand back and they watch, right? They watch. I listened to a speaker once. Actually, this was at my church, and a Ronnie Doss. If you've never heard of Ronnie Doss, look him up. I've seen him speak a few times at my church. Super, super motivational guy. He does training seminars for NASA and just some really big corporations. But he talks about, he relates it to, like karate or taekwondo, right? And that you get to the point where you're a black belt, right? And the black belt, you know, you look at the black belt and you're like, oh, they know everything, right? They know it all, right? We can relate this to the chief officer, right? When you get that, except we're going to flip-flop it, right? So let's go back. The black belt, they know it all, right? Well, every once in a while, the black belt needs to remember where they came from, right? And put on the white belt and be a student again and learn. And get better at their craft, right? And be better, and look to continue to grow, right? So let's take that black belt, white belt theory. Let's just flip around the colors and let's talk about helmets, right? The white hat, the chief, right? I've been a chief officer multiple times, right? But I still look for training opportunities wherever I can get them from. Whether it's going to a training center, going to a seminar, being around my fellow instructors, being around fellow firefighters learning, opening a magazine, going on YouTube, whatever the hell it may be, looking for different opportunities to learn, right? There's lots of chief officers that don't do that, but they bitch about the fact that, you know, other people excel, or that when they're done being a chief officer, right, they're just kind of pushed aside as like a has-been. Well, why are you a has-been? Because you don't bring anything to the table. That's why. All you brought was a position that you happened to fill, right? And a white hat, right? So let's go back to that black belt, white belt theory again, right? On drill night, on training night, when a group of firefighters is going out to a class, right? Sometimes the chief has to take off that white hat and remember what it's like to be a black hat again, right? Put on that black hat. Get out there and learn, right? Get out there with the rank and file and remember what it's like to do the job, right? Remember what it's like to learn, right? To be a part of the team, right? To continue to grow, right? That's what we all need to be doing. So don't let your path be determined for you. You determine your path. If you want to go out and do something, right? Set a goal for yourself. Figure out what it takes to get to that goal, to achieve that goal. Talk to people that are maybe there already, right? And work towards that goal, whatever that goal may be. Right? That's what we got to do if we want to be successful. So when people come to me and ask, how do you get involved in so much stuff, right? It's because I'm goal-driven. And when I have things that I want to do, that I want to accomplish, that I want to take part in, I don't stop until I get there. And I am not successful at everything I do. There are plenty of things that I have said, hey, I'd really like to do that, and I have not gotten there for a variety of reasons. Maybe I realize it wasn't my thing, it wasn't my cup of tea, I didn't have the time to devote to it. Whatever. Sometimes shit just happens, folks. Sometimes shit happens. We can be successful down certain paths, unsuccessful down other paths, right? But you got there's give and takes. That's all there is. There's give and takes. So that would be my advice to you, to those of you that have asked that question in the past. I was going to talk about some other stuff today, but I've been talking for about 20 minutes now, and I like to keep these mutual aid episodes short. I am really excited to announce that our Setting Our Volunteers Up for Success class is still going. We're still moving ahead with that. We slowed down over the summer for a variety of reasons. Both Chief Andrzak and I have been very, very busy working our multiple jobs that we both work, teaching out in the field and at the local training center. Summer just flew by. Obviously, I've been dealing with some other stuff, which, you know, has kind of helped, I guess, summer fly by a little bit. But the program is still out there. We're still doing it. Next month, October, we are heading up to East Syracuse, New York, and we are really excited to head up to East Syracuse. Great group of guys up there, guys and girls up there. And we're really excited to bring the message, to the Cuse. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're in preliminary talks right now about coming down to the Dover, Delaware area. So if you're in the Dover, Delaware area, reach out to me if you're interested. Again, preliminary conversations, but it seems like that's going to happen, and we're probably looking to January 2023 for that delivery. So we're still doing it. We're out there. Important message to spread. We got to keep our volunteers engaged and successful, and that's a huge part of our message. How to do that? How to keep our organizations moving forward, we're excited to continue to get out there and deliver the message. So, guys, as always, I truly appreciate your support of me, of the podcast, of our platform. If you have any ideas for future episodes, maybe have an idea of a guest that we have not looked to yet. Again, Kara and I have been, it's just been crazy. Things have been busy for both of us. It's been wild. We talk about getting more on a regular schedule, and there's just a lot keeping us from doing that. But we're trying. We are trying. I have, as some of you have noticed, even the social media feeds have not been as consistent as they once were. It's just a constant dance for me to balance everything. But we're still doing our best. We're still out here pushing the message, and we can't do that without you. So I appreciate all of you. Again, if you're looking to reach out, professionalvff@gmail.com. That's professionalvff@gmail.com. Or you can reach out through @professional.brotherhood on Instagram, at Chief Soller on Facebook. And I always look forward to hearing from you all. So stay safe, my friends. Have a great day. And as always, keep doing what you do. Talk to you soon.